check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need, all in one place. You can provide feedback, listen, support, share, enjoy these. We have our Patreon there. You can buy us a beer or a coffee. You can check out our Instagrams, our Twitters, our Facebooks. Check out our YouTube page. You can email us. You can listen to our podcasts on Patreon, if you're a subscriber, on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, on Podbean. We have Google Podcasts on there. We have an Amazon wish list. You want to buy Kyle and I something? Fine. You can do that here. We appreciate it. We have Kyle's RPG podcast listed on there, so you can check out his Dork Day Afternoon offerings. We have Cowabunga links, so you can check out the Cowabunga deep discount FOC and pre-order list. Get on that. That's RLCS, so you can check that out as well. And we want to just give you opportunities to say hi, to check out what we're doing, support us if you would like, or just listen. Check out beacons.ai/comicsfunprofit for all the C4 FAP links you could ever need. Thanks. Back to the show.
Aloha. It's Jason from Hawaii. Welcome to a special edition of the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. In this episode, I will be talking to writer Sean Lewis and artist Jonathan Marks Barovecchia. Jonathan, did I pronounce your last name correctly? Okay.
Nailed it. Perfect.
I'm sorry about that. Okay. Now, they're here to promote the Bear Pirate Viking Queen. Now, this is a three-part limited series from Image Comics. The first issue comes out on May 1st. And I think by the time you guys listen to this, the issue probably just either will be coming out on May 1st or just came out on that day. And also, the second issue comes out on June 5th. Sean and Jonathan, welcome to the Comics for Fun and Profit podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Hey, Jason. Good.
Yeah.
So, all right. Listeners, I just want to go over some of Sean's works and also some of Jonathan's works too as well. Now, Sean and Jonathan, please correct me at any time. Now, Sean, correct me if I'm wrong. You are an actor, director, and a playwright. You have won a number of awards, such as the Barrymore Award, the Kennedy Center Rosa Park Award, the National New Play Network Smith Prize. Sean can be also heard as a commentary on the NPR's This American Life. For Image Comics, he has written Bliss, Coyotes Above Snakes, King Spawn, and I told Sean I love this series, Scorched. Ah, it's a good series. And also from Aftershock, you wrote Clan Killers and Berothold?
If I pronounce that. Oh, Betrothed.
That's enough. All right. And then Jonathan, some of Jonathan's works, he's done interior artworks Marvel Comics, such as Doctor Strange Annual, that came out in 2016, Scarlet Witch number 13, Man-Thing number 4, Wolverines number 5 and 10. He's also done some covers for Ice Cream Man number 35. That's from Image Comics. R.L. Stein Stuff of Nightmares number 4 from Boom Studios. And The Last Ruin, The Lost Years, issue number 2 from IDW. Do you guys want to add anything or did I miss anything?
I will say I did a big run at Marvel on the Dark Tower. So if you like a consistent run, that's
right.
A longer one. Yeah.
That's right. I forgot about that. I'm sorry about that, Jonathan.
That's all good.
Yeah. All right. So Sean and Jonathan, where can listeners follow you on social media?
I'm on Twitter at Sean Chris Lewis and I'm on Instagram, but I always forget it because I didn't plan on it being public and then people found me. It's like Sean Lewis 60 something. So those two places.
I'm Jonathan Marks Art on Instagram. And if you follow me, I tag Sean and all the Bear Pirate stuff. So then you can find Sean 62, whatever it is. Yeah. That way.
Sorry, it's a bunch of numbers I did a long time ago.
No.
Clearly I'm good at the business side of this.
Yeah. I want to get to the point where we don't need the social media as part of the business side. where I can just go back to my flip phone and not be like, oh, I got to post and blah, blah, blah to talk about it. It's like, nah, man, they'll find it. They'll find it from someone else.
Oh,
and I
yeah.
can just have my life to do whatever else I want to do with it.
Be a dream.
The dream. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right. Now, to prepare for this interview, I got some of my information from the Comic Book Yeti YouTube podcast that came out on April 12th, 2024. Host Byron O'Neill interviewed Jonathan for their podcast. If you get a chance, please check out that great interview. Jonathan and Byron, it was a fun interview to listen to. It was great. Now, listeners, Jonathan did an amazing homage to the classic Frank Miller Wolverine trade cover. You can find it on his website. Byron, now during that interview, Byron brought up that and what was so cool was Byron had a very good condition, a store promotion poster of that specific trade cover. Now, Jonathan, did you get the poster?
I did, yeah. That was such a surprise that Byron had that for me. I just got it the other day. It's back there. It's still rolled up somewhere. I gotta frame it or something. It's very cool, very nerdy. I think he said it's from the 80s when he was working in a comic shop when the series was coming out.
That was impressive because, excuse me, because in the YouTube interview, he kind of pulls it out. I'm going, holy cow, that is so,
yeah.
It's not ding. There's no dog ears. You know, you don't see a little slight. It's like, oh my
no, God. Yeah, so very cool. Generous of him. Yeah, it's very cool. I got to frame it.
Yeah, okay. So off the cuff question. Sorry, I'm just going off the cuff question. Jonathan, if you are at a con, if Frank Miller is at the con that you know, are you going to have him autograph it?
Yeah, I see. So I won't. I know a guy who knows a guy. So it was in the back of my head. It was like, I wonder if I could get this in front of Frank at some point. So we'll see. But yeah, definitely. It was in the back of my head to see if he could put a little scribble on it. The fanboy in me for sure.
No, oh my God, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Sean, I'm going to ask, do you want to add anything to that before we start jumping in?
I would gladly meet Frank Miller. I'd have a lot of questions about his Daredevil run, or like Ronin. Me and John geek out about Ronin here and there anyway when we talk about it. That book's insane. I love that book.
Nobody, yeah, Ronin doesn't get as much love as it should. Sean and I talk about it a lot.
Yeah, we do.
Like more than you would think.
No, but that's true because I vaguely remember that 6-issue miniseries from DC because it was literally under the radar. And correct me if I'm wrong, but it was kind of, was it black and white? I can't remember. Or there was some.
It was full color. It was still Lynn Varley on the colors, but it's all traditional colors, I believe. Uh-huh. And it's, it was like post Daredevil, pre Dark Knight, Frank Miller. So he had like a pretty long runway, but I don't think it did for DC what they wanted it to do. And then Dark Knight hit. And so then he became, you know, or solidified rather, the, you know, capital F Frank.
Yeah. All right. We're just going to just jump right in.
Yes.
Bear, Pirate, Viking, Queen. Now, listeners, before I ask, you know, we start going into the story, Jonathan and Sean, you guys have an incredible story of how you guys teamed up for this. Now, for you know, Jonathan, for listeners, how did you guys meet? And Sean, jump in at any time.
We've said this before. Sean and I are neighbors, but we didn't know that until we started working on this book. So, like, long story short, we live in New York. I reached out to Sean. Or I did a sketch cover for his series Above Snakes a year or two ago and posted it on Instagram and like tagged him in it. So I was reading the series and it's great. You know, if your listeners haven't read it, sort of surrealist cowboy Western, you know, revenge story. Like, oh, this is cool. You know, I like all of those things. Did a little sketch cover and posted it. And either I sent it to Sean or tagged him or he reached out to me or something, but we started talking online. Like, oh, you know, I'd love to work together, stuff like that. So eventually one of us, I think I said, I was like, hey, do you live in New York? Because I live in New York. And like, arrogantly, you know, I'm like, is a 50-50 chance he lives here or he lives anywhere else in the world. He's like, oh yeah, I do, you know, but I don't live in the city anymore. Like I live upstate. I live in the Hudson Valley area. And my wife and I had just moved out of Brooklyn. I feel like as I was texting with Sean, like we just moved out of Brooklyn, and I was like, oh no way. Like, so do I. I live in Hudson Valley too. Where do you live? So I was like, oh, I live in this town called Beacon, you know, whatever. It's like, no way. I live in the town. I live in Beacon too. And Sean, you know, this is like over the course of a couple of days, Sean texts me back or Instagrams me back or whatever. He's like, ah, so I don't live in Beacon. That's just the town that everybody knows. I live in the next town over, a town called Fishkill. I was like, oh, no way. I lied about living in Beacon too. Like, I also live in Fishkill. It's like, oh, crazy. So I said this to on another podcast too. Like, Sean's walked to my house before, you know, it's like, we live, I think, about a mile away from each other. So at that point, we're like, well,
there's a baseball field outside my window that if I cut through the baseball field, I'm at John's house.
Yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, at that point, I was like, well, even if we don't work together, like, I don't know anyone up here. And Sean had only been here for, I think, a little bit longer than me. Like, oh, let's just have a nerdy friend or not. We'll just meet up and have a beer and like not like each other. I don't know. But it sort of worked out. It worked out pretty well. Yeah, we caught up for, or we got up together for a beer, and like just sort of talked nerdy comic stuff. I think the first time, and then it was, you know, we're like, okay, cool. Like, we enjoy each other's company, so now let's try to work together.
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, we had a lot of the same touch points. I mean, we're roughly around the same age. And so I think when we would talk about books or like artists or runs of things that we were both into, like, we just immediately be like, oh yeah, that McKean, like, oh, the McKean's art on that was insane. Or like, remember that Vertigo series? And so it was very clear right away that it was like, okay, we seem to have the same like aesthetic tastes, which is like a big part of collaborating. I think we'd make something in the same world that we're like interested and excited by. And I think there was also just like a carefreeness to it of like, I don't know. I sometimes think the best projects come out of like no design. Like, we were just kind of like, we just met. We have no idea what to do together. Like, let's just do something. Like, let's just throw caution to the wind and we'll figure it out and we'll see what happens. And yeah. So then Bear Pirate kind of came out of that. Like, we just started, we were at a brewery by us. And just talking about things we thought were cool in comics. Like, I think I'd asked Jonathan what he liked drawing and ran through a couple of things. Like, I think the first thing was like dinosaurs. And I was like, I don't know how to write something with dinosaurs. I'm not a good dino writer. But then like Vikings. And then it was like, well, pirates are pretty cool. And I was like, ah, it'd be cool to put them in a book together. And bears came up. And then we were just kind of joking. I think the title came first. And then we were just kind of joking around. And like, that's an awesome title. Like, I don't know how that's a book. Like, well, I don't know. Well, give me a week or two, and like, I'll fuck around and see if there's a book. Like, there's a story, not even a book, but just, is there anything there? And then, yeah, we just kind of went off, and then we just kept, and then it was like, oh, something started to emerge, and we luckily, I think, also living that close to each other, we could just keep meeting up and bounce ideas off, and it just kept going.
So yeah, the proximity to each other is such a silly, or not silly, such a like. I don't know. I can't overstate how important it is, especially for like this kind of industry where I don't think I can count on one hand the amount of people that I've worked with that I have met in person.
Yeah.
And so for Sean and I to actually be in the same town to go to each, I mean, there was a run like when we were really in the thick of it where I think we met up every Saturday. It was like a set date. We'd go out somewhere, or we'd meet at one of our houses or whatever, and just like talk shit for half an hour, work for half an hour, you know, whatever it is. And I think that informed the book a lot
for problem solving and just, and for general camaraderie and energy. And are we on the same page for a book? There's nothing better than like, I'm just at Jonathan's house and looking at the pages that have just been finished and going like, oh, this looks great. And now I'm energized to go back to my house. And I know that I'll be able to give that back to Jonathan in like a couple of days or literally meet up. I mean, much to his point, I mean, I've done three graphic novels, like three runs of books with Hayden Sherman over years. Like, I've been working with Hayden Sherman since like 2015. I mean, one of my closest collaborators. I've met Hayden once for 30 minutes in real life at a con. Like, it's a weird business, like in that. I mean, I come from theater where you're in the room with people all the time, so it's always
Yes.
been to me. And I think I also always geeked out about, like, I used to just love reading about the bullpens at Marvel and the idea of, like, the writers and the artists just like hanging out. I mean, also because I'm nerdy and solitary in my business anyway. Like, I'm a writer, like,
Yes.
I do it by myself. It sucks. Like, it's really lonely sometimes. So, like, I think I would always read about the bullpens and be like, oh, this sounds like so awesome. Like, I just read a graphic, an oral history of Wildstorm Comics. And they just had like a big room that they hung out at and like would do the art, like the drawing and the ink and the writing. I'm like, I felt so jealous. I was like, this sounds fucking great.
That's so, it's amazing. I was before fully committing to comics, I was a tattoo apprentice, and the like atmosphere in that environment with the artists, with myself, there was another apprentice that was working at the time. Like, you grow so much faster because of just being surrounded by that kind of creativity, that kind of knowledge. And like, if you have a thick enough skin, like, you get beaten down a lot because it's like, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, like, immediately. But then you fix it immediately, and then you grow immediately. So like, having that to bounce each other, or for Sean and I to bounce that off of each other, was like, we do different things, but it's still storytelling.
But I still think it's amazing. It's so incredible that, because Jonathan, before the podcast, you're talking about how, yeah, this is great, I love to do these interviews, even if it's over Zoom and stuff, because you like you said, your work is pretty much isolated.
Yeah, for
You're in a
sure.
room trying to, you do your work. But it's so cool that you and Sean, like, you guys, for this story, every Saturday, you guys are there, you guys talk about stuff, and then you guys get to work. Sean looks at some of your works, and wow, this is great. And Sean can throw you some ideas, and you go, yeah, let me do, give me a couple of days, I'll be back. And then, and Sean, you look at Jonathan's work, and you go, oh, I think I know where I want to go here. I was thinking of going left, but now I'm going to go, I'm now it looks like I think going right would be a lot better. And I can, and that's just great. It's
Yeah, it's very true because you start to learn the world, right? Like, John's gonna really create the world because that's what the art does. So like sometimes the bad thing can happen is you write a whole story and you think it's one thing and then you get the art back and you're like, oh fuck, we're in different worlds. Like, I thought I was writing a satire and like the art is very sincere, you know, like, and I'm like, now textually I'm trying to bring it back. Where I prefer is like seeing John's art and then going like, oh, I now understand. I had an idea of what the world was, but now seeing it in full dimension, it totally, I mean, sometimes probably, to John getting a little extra work of like seeing stuff and then being like, oh, that these drawings or these pages make me realize that the art, like the script can go here. And then that becomes exciting, you know, like because then I'm kind of discovering it with my collaborator as opposed to dictating it, which is way less.
There was one instance, Sean, I don't even think I ever told you this, where we were talking about, we're trying to break the first issue. There was some little sticky area, and Sean was like, with the, we need some action or something. He's like, oh, I've never seen this, like, a fucking pirate, like, car chase, but like with pirate ships on the ocean, which is cool as hell. But I was thinking in the background, I was like, fuck me. Like, absolutely not. Like, how do we not do this? Even though that is an awesome idea. I was like, nah, yeah, that's cool. But what would be even cooler? Like a conversation in the snow or something. Like something where I don't have to draw a million boats chasing each other. So again, good thing we were in the same room, and we could
I mean, that's
do
also true. That's also true.
it.
Well, that's a hard thing that I also think a lot of writers aren't honest about is like, we really, especially in the beginning of writing comics, like, I don't have Jonathan or any of the artists I worked with skill set. So, like, I only have my imagination. So, like, what takes a lot of time and what doesn't take a lot of time is something I'm still learning. And I had no idea of until I worked on King Spawn and Scorched, because we were on such tight deadlines at times that like, I would like, I used to think that a double page spread would take the most time in the world. So I would avoid writing them and I would do multiple panel pages. And then I would get like Todd contacting me, going like, Sean, you got to give Javi more splash pages. He just time wise, it'll be fast. I was like, I think I shocked him because I was like, it's faster to do a splash. Yes, it's a lot faster. I was like, oh, God. I'll write a lot of, I'll do a lot of splashes then. So.
I'm sorry. I just want to give listeners like, now no spoilers, but like, I'm Sean. Like, we started to kind of talk a little bit about the story, but what is the story about? And Jonathan, feel free to jump in.
Well, I think thematically, John and I wanted to make a book. Jonathan and I want to make a book like the ones I think we loved when we were younger, that like could go anywhere, that surprised you, had a lot of good twists and turns.
Yes.
It, I mean, where you start in issue one is you meet a former British naval officer who feels betrayed by the empire he served,
Yes.
and who has now become kind of their Blackbeard, like the greatest pirate along the British coast. Who then, in a huge battle, I don't think this is giving away too much, in a huge battle with the Brits, where he thinks he's gonna die, he ends up coming across this bear in the ocean, and he's like, "What the fuck are you doing here?" But the bear kind of becomes a mascot for him that makes him even more powerful, and then like leads him to a gateway of more of England's history of conquest and colonialism, all these like monsters and villains from England's past kind of emerge, start to come through. And you know, the pirate's kind of the first one we meet. And then issue by issue, you start to meet more of these historical adversaries who come back in a big mythic sense. So it's just a big epic mythic battle. I mean, there's a lot of fighting, which I think people usually like.
But I have to say, it's very beautiful to look at.
Oh, yeah.
The thing, and I'm going to get to you, Jonathan, in a minute. The thing I love, Sean, and please forgive, I hope I'm not offending you, but the thing I love about your writing in this book is you would do like maybe like one line in each panel, or at least two or three lines, because you let Jonathan's artwork, Jonathan, it's amazing artwork. And Sean, like you said, this is an epic story that your guys are telling. You know, it took me a while after I read it because I was like, holy cow, I love this. But then it took me a little while to figure out this is an epic story. Because Jonathan, you talk about, oh my God, I have to draw how many ships now in the pit, you know, it's very epic. The battle scenes are epic.
Well, we definitely wanted that sense of grandeur,
Yes.
for sure. And I will say, like, I'll sing Sean's praises for what you were saying before too, that like I mean, again, back to the collaborative sort of aspect of the book, you know, the initial script that Sean gave me, script in air quotes, was like not like a comic script or a screenplay or anything. It's more of a poem that we or I broke down as images. And then we got together again and figured out the
Yes.
exact dialogue. And then I lettered the book too. And then I went and I lettered through it. And then, to Sean's credit again, he went through it again, was like, nah, man, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. Like, we don't need it. It clutters up the page, or it clutters up the art. Get rid of it. So it was a very, like, for my ego, it was great. And I think that it at no point, like, we never wanted, I mean, storytelling or comic book storytelling 101, we never wanted the narration to be like, and the pirate fired his musket, and then the illustration to be a pirate firing his musket.
Yes.
So, you know, we wanted the story to move in as grand a scale with as little like sort of interaction on our parts as the creators, just for the reader to be in that world.
Yes.
I think also for anybody who's listening who wants to make comics or just interested behind the baseball of it, it's also one of the benefits you get with longer issues, right? Like, there's less of a stress on me. Like, a 20-page issue that has to do like a whole movie's worth of storytelling, you're probably going to get a lot of text. Our first issue is like 70 pages.
Yes.
So it allows you to breathe and treat it a bit more like a movie. Like, I don't think people realize how little dialogue are in most movies. Like, if you actually like broke it down, you'd be like, yeah, my favorite character in this spoke like 15 times. But movies are really immersive. And like, one again, like I just knew from Jonathan's art, I'm like, John's art is like incredibly immersive. Like, we could have a very immersive experience where you feel like you're going through it with the characters. And to do that, it just means picking the right things to say and when to pick them, and then get and then backing off, like letting then the book do what it's doing, if that
Yes.
makes
No, it does. It
sense.
does. It really does because, it's like because I think like Captain Paul Reddish, who's the main character, it's like, there'll be like, one or two lines, and then but then you like I said, you would see like, okay, as my men head down to the lower part of the ship, and then that's all it is. You see them go, they go down, as all of a sudden then you see, oh, there's a surprise. It doesn't go, and because then he doesn't continue on by going, oh, and we saw this and we saw that. It's just it's just a nice effect of, oh, okay. And it's like, what? I can't say what it is because I don't want to spoil it,
Right. Well, but and then again, but that was in the script. That's what I see, but that's not what we need to like spell out for the reader. Like, I know exactly what happens. The reader will know exactly what happens without Sean telling them, because that's my job.
When you guys were working, when you guys were working on this story, because I know you, Sean, because I know you mentioned that you guys came up with this, with this amazing title. Like, were there, what were there, what was some of the inspiration to this? Because when I was reading this first issue, the first thing that came to my mind, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, is Homer's Odyssey. I don't know
Oh,
why.
sure. I mean, I'm a huge, huge classics nerd. So
Okay.
I feel like anything from like Homer and Ovid and like the Greeks are stuff that are kind of baked in. I mean, they're so those are also like baked into theater.
Yes.
I think I'm always I do think like that's like classical structure and classical stories are things that are just a big part of how I learned how to write. So yeah, I think a lot of things I have probably have. I love the Odyssey. Like that would definitely play into it. I mean, on a comic side, I was always thinking a lot about like I was thinking a lot about From Hell. I know it doesn't like play like From Hell, but like the idea of doing a historical narrative, but it's kind of ahistorical, meaning like you're taking like different liberties with it, but there's an epic feel to From Hell when you're reading it that I think I was just like, I'd love to make a book that made me feel the way I did when I read that book. Clearly not the same story or even like the same art style or anything, but there was an ambition in that book that I was like, I know I was talking to Jonathan about that a lot when we started, as I was just like, I think like, I want us to be as ambitious as possible with this book. And really, that was the one that stood out the most to me in terms of a comic corollary. There's a play I love called Our Country Is Good by Timothy Wharton Baker that's about the founding of Australia that I also was thinking about a lot because it happens at sea a lot. And I was thinking about some of the thematic, and it's the British sending off inmates. So it was like those would probably be the two things that were like the closest influences to what I was thinking about on the writing side.
Jonathan, I'm going to ask, do you want to add anything to that?
No, I mean artistically, like the influences for me, I mean if you flip through the book, it's painted comics, so there's not a ton of people painting comics. So it's all the ones, McKean and Sienkiewicz are the big ones. Kent Williams and George Pratt, huge
God, yes,
influences.
that's right.
John J. Muth. There's a comic called Moonshadow that Epic put out, and then they reprinted at Vertigo, and then reprinted at Dark Horse. From the I don't even know, 80s, maybe even the 70s. But it's JMD Mateus and John J. Muth. And then I think Ken Williams and George Pratt do a little bit in there too. But it's this weird painted sort of, I think that it's even, the tagline is like a kid's story for grown-ups or something. You know, it's I mean, the story doesn't matter for the, in this case, but you know, books like that were the influence for me. And as far as like, you know, Sean is, to his credit and the credit to of his and the benefit of his collaborators, is willing to take these big risks. And I have been published and have been working for a couple of years, but I feel like no one really knows who I am, so there's not really a risk there. So why not make the biggest, loudest noise that we can make? And for me, at least, it's, you know, I want to do this oversized. I want it painted. I want it, you know, hopefully I'm not just regurgitating those other artists that I've mentioned, but, you know, the influence of those makers, because I think that, you know, I love, and Sean loves, we talk about this constantly, how much we love comics, but, you know, the limitation or the limits that, that some people seem to put on comics has always frustrated me. And I feel like now with the movies, maybe not now, but, you know, the past 10 years or so, the movies being so influential, the comic books have almost reverted to a more singular look, or superhero comics, Western superhero comics I'm talking about. And I wanted to sort of buck against that and show that, like, no, it can be story-wise, we can show this epic, but equal parts epic and sort of quiet and emotional and subtle, you know, storytelling, while at the same time, it's a painted comic book. It's got whole sections, especially like, it, this is not a spoiler, but in later issues, there are pages. They're all oversized issues. They're all long. And there are passages of 6 or 8 pages where there's nothing said at all. Because why not? Because we can do that. Because, you know, the story doesn't need us dictating, literally dictating, you know, anything to the reader. So why not do that? And again, it's just, it's again, like the influences of mine artistically and storytelling and comic book wise in general were these painters who did comics that looked different. And so I wanted to do a comic that looked different.
I think that gets to a bigger thing too, of like, I think whether we spoke it or not, I think there was a shared interest in like comics before comics could be movies. If that means, like, our love, it seemed like both of our loves were like, remember before comics could all be movies? And then, because what the industry really saw, I mean, as a writer, I dealt with it a lot, is like you had a lot of companies show up with like outside money who were trying to build intellectual property farms. And basically what they were asking for all the time is like, how do you give us a movie pitch of a comic and we'll make a story? Like, how do we make a movie that's already light, a comic that's already, it's so interchangeable in a gross way to me. How do we make a comic that's already like a movie? And I think that always was driving me insane, because that's, I didn't fall in love with that. You know, like I fall in love with comic books that at the time, I mean, anything can be a movie now, but there was something, but some are harder. So I think there was definitely a draw to that of like, just remember when books were just like, the book was the thing. And that I think became like a really driving force for us, is like, how do we make the book the, like the experience that it needs to be?
I lived in LA. I used to live in LA, and it was like the height of success was if your IP was made into a film or TV. That's what that town is. That's fine. But as a comic book creator, that I was bristled against that. And like to Sean's point, it was, who fucking cares what else this may or may not ever be. It's a comic book. And we should play up and like celebrate the comic bookness of it.
I'm going to change. Actually, one question I want to talk about. Jonathan, I'm going to ask you, because for the listeners, because when the book comes out, because Your artwork, like I said, it's incredible. It's amazing. I can't. And listeners, it's like you guys have to pick up this first issue because it's a painted art. It's a. I'm gonna say I. This is gonna sound weird, and please don't take it offense, but I think it's a masterpiece.
Don't
Because
tell
I
why would I be offended by that?
yeah, no,
Take
because
offense, John.
it's I'm not trying to make fun. I'm not making fun of it because. Jonathan, when I see your work in the book, and I'm going to say it's because I saw the digital copy, but I cannot imagine how amazing it would look in my hands while I flip through the pages because these are like paintings in a museum that you would see. And I love it how, again, the designs of your the wooden ships are amazing. You see, like, and the colors. Your muted colors, it's like it fits the period and the time. And it's like, yes, I feel like I'm out at sea. And then also too, you have the smallness of, those quiet moments because when you see Captain Reddish in the beginning, there's two panels where he's clear. You see how his face is. And then the next panel, and I think Sean, there's a little bit of dialogue, but you can see that something happened to him. Like there's a change in him. And
It's like
Jonathan,
a Peter Cage. I know what you're talking about. It's when it goes from who he was in the past and who is what his life could have been, what he is now. That's Peter Cage.
And that's a that is very good.
Thank you.
That is very good. But like I said, but Jonathan, your art style, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I want to talk about it a little bit, is that you've done it in watercolor, right? Is that correct?
Watercolor, ink, oil, some collage, whole bunch of stuff. All traditional work though. Yeah, it's all traditional on boards and on paper, and then scanned and cleaned up a little bit, and then all the lettering. Most of the lettering is digital. Some of the lettering is on the board too. So I mean, just as I love traditional media, and I want to, sweat and cry into each page. And
Because it's the other thing I also when I was reading this first issue too is. And when I listened to a little bit of the Comic Book Yeti interview, what I got out of listening to that and reading this first issue, this is your guys' passion project. That's the thing I love about you because you guys are all like, you guys, we're gonna do this story, and we're not trying to make it where hopefully someone in Hollywood picks it up, where you're going, no, this is a story we love. This is a story we want to tell.
Yeah, I mean, I will say, like, for any comic book creator, for any creative, like, until you are so successful that, the waters get muddied, everything has to be or should have some aspect of passion project, because otherwise, why are we doing this? I said to someone the other day, like,
It's like if it's not a passion project for you, we're so lucky to fucking do this. Like, it's weird. There's sometimes where I do run into creators who are really jaded, and it's like, I'm mailing this thing in, and I'm like, you could be like in a cubicle right now. Like, you're so lucky that this is the gig. Why not make it your dream? Like, why not let it be that strange or weird? But, I mean, I cut off Jonathan there. That was rude of me.
I completely agree. Yeah, like we are, this is something that we all have wanted to do since we were young, probably, and now we get to do it in some level or another. Like, it's got to be a passion project. Everything is, like, you have to have passion for it. Otherwise, why are you doing it? There are much easier ways to not make any money. Like, this is, we do this because we love this, and so yeah.
And well, because the thing, because I'm going to ask, because you guys, was there any time constraint on like when you guys had to have this issue come up? Because what I'm trying to, because it's kind of like, because it's not like, come on, we got to have a book, Sean, for you. Like, come on, we have to have a book out in 30 days. It's this one's like, and I know those artists and writers, they, I still love reading comics. And it's unfortunate because you have those time constraints. Like, okay, we got to do this. We got to cut corners. We have to, but this one, it's like, you guys really took the time to really Do it how you guys want it. I just think it's great.
I mean, thank you. I mean, part of that is the benefit of doing it at Image. I mean, basically we never had a time constraint. I think once we decided to work on the book, it was like, I mean, I saw how elaborate Jonathan's art is, so I was like, I have no idea how long this will take. Like whatever it is whatever it is. The bigger thing was just like, let's get Image on board. Like, let's get a pitch into them early, sooner than later, so that we just publisher that we know that it's going to come out, and then we'll just kind of on that schedule. And then honestly, it's just like really getting Jonathan and them talking about like when do we want the book to come out and what schedule works for what Jonathan knows of his own art schedule. So
Yeah, I mean, again, like to Sean's point, this the benefit of working with images, they kind of leave us alone. So once we well, they leave us alone, or rather leave us to make those decisions. So then we tell like, hey, I want this to be done, or we want this to be out in like spring of 2024. So it's in there, it's penciled into their calendar somewhere, and then as the project moves on, then we iron out specific details. But we set the deadlines for ourselves, or I set the deadline for art for the art for me, like stuff that I had to get done at a certain time. So that we could have the book out kind of when we wanted it.
But that's really nice because, again, Jonathan gives you time to really, take the time to really paint these beautiful, beautiful stories.
Thanks. I mean, I'll say too, like, I want to, or having that luxury of time is a luxury, but it would do the book would look no better if I spent 3 or 4 days on each panel. Like, the deadlines is an important thing to have for me, at least, to have like this has to be done. Like, I have to have whatever, however many pages done in by the weekend or by the next time Sean and I work. And like last year, I was working three other jobs, like, so I had like a pretty set, this day I'm at the bar, this day I'm at the brewery, this day I work at the gym, this day I draw all day, this night I have, whatever. So, having a set schedule like that was helpful for me.
The other thing I wanted to ask, talk about real quickly, because I know we're slowly winding down, because it's a three-issue limited series, and now I know the first issue is about 70 pages. It's $4.99. I think that's a great deal.
It's
I
a
really,
bargain.
because you guys, it
Me
is,
too.
because it's getting almost two complete comics, for a very good price. First off, what did you guys plan it out just to make it just three issues?
Yeah, I mean, that's how much story there was. I mean, we knew we were going to oversized, and we knew it was a limited. And honestly, I wanted to try and we talked about a lot. I mean, one of my thoughts or concerns at times is like there's a lot of limited series now. They usually go 5 to 6 issues. And like I know a lot of collectors who get kind of bogged down in like I started this one, I'm 3 or 4 issues in, but now there's like five others that I'm starting to collect and I've fallen off of this. So it was like, is there a way of making it big and digestible? Like that was like a question of like, can it be big and epic and have as much story as we want it to have, but be this thing where it's not like 6 or 8 months on, you're like, I'm still waiting for this issue. And now the first issue was 70 pages, but it was 8 months ago. And now I don't know what happened in it. So, I mean, it was that. And I think also just the experience, like we could, and there are publishers who do this who would have taken a 72 page issue and cut it into 3 issues. They would have just been like, well, we're going to cut this into 320 page issues and get 8 issues out of it. It'll be awesome for them. But I don't think the story or the reader. So it was more of like, this issue is great. It's 70-ish pages and it's great. And the next one is 40 pages and it's great. So it became more of like, it's a big thing I get mad about in comics. Sorry, I'm going, it's my own little tangent. I'll be very short, but it's like, there's no, like, no one sits down and goes like, I only like movies that are exactly 90 minutes long.
Yeah.
I only
Yes.
watch 90 minutes. Those are the only good stories. Like some you watch a 3 hour, you watch a 80
Yeah.
minute. And I think in comics, there's times where I'm like the slavery, the being a slave to a 20 page issue can be great. There's great 20 page issues. I mean,
Yes.
I've had to write a lot of them. I hope some of them are good. Like, but there's also sometimes you read something that's like oversized and it's amazing. And sometimes you read stuff that's shorter and that actually is great. So it was more of just like, what does the story need? And once the first one was big, it became like, I think kind of clear, like three issues, three kind of mini movies is like right length and experience of this story.
Jonathan, you
Yeah,
want to add?
I agree with all that. I think, like, to Sean's point, we could, I mean, we set up the trade just the other day because comic, like, that's how comics works. And you know, the trade is whatever, it's gonna be like 170 pages. Like,
That's not
this could
bad.
easily have been a 6 to 8 issue series,
Yes.
but for what? Just in service to like the traditional Western comic book make.
Yeah.
And I'll say too, like, I think in the back of, well, not even in the back sometimes, Sean and I were also like making this book, you know, for us and a passion project and a story we believe in and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. But we were also thinking like, we want the reader to enjoy this and we want the comic book seller to enjoy this and to be able to move it
Yes.
like as a product too. Like, without sacrificing anything on the story, like, this is just the reality. Like, comic shops are having a hard time. Readers have limited budgets to you know,
Yes.
support this thing that they do love. Like,
Yeah.
so why take advantage of either of those groups?
Because I will say $4.99 for an oversized book is not a creator-friendly decision.
Yeah.
It's
Yeah, yeah.
like it's a massive risk because you know, I mean, you know, they were doing Batman One Day is like I think less pages than this, and that was a $10 book. Like
Oh God, yes.
you're trying to figure out like so for us it became, I mean, I hope it works out. I mean, it's really up to the readers to make it
We'll
work out.
see, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, is that we were just like, if I were in the shop, I would love for this to be this much. Like I would have to buy it if it was this. It's like you said, it's so beautiful.
Yes.
Like $5 for it. There's times where you spend $5 on a book and I know you flip through it and you go, this was not worth it.
Yeah.
There's no way that you don't flip through this book and go, I got away with murder on this.
Yes,
Yeah. Yeah. And it's a new book too. Like, you know, we for $10, people are gonna, if you buy Batman every month, you're gonna buy a Batman every month. But
100%.
you know, if there's a new book that your comic shop is saying, like, oh, you should check this out, you know, this new Image book, it's also $10. You're like, ah, maybe.
Yeah.
But if it's $5, then it's like, you know, yeah, because that's why not?
I can
Can
swing
you
with it.
afford not to?
Yeah. No, but that's true.
Probably.
The other thing, sorry, I'm off the cuff, but you know what I was thinking about too when I was talking to you guys about the three issues is because back in the 80s, because Marvel and DC started off with miniseries that were three issues, Contest of Champions,
Yeah.
you know,
Is it
the Untold Tale of Batman or something. I forgot. Yeah. You know, and
think
that's
it was
what.
also because back then they were using it much more for a hook, and there wasn't as much of a pressure on like we have to get a trade out of this.
That's
Like,
true.
you know, like the trade market didn't really exist. So it was like, we'll
Yeah.
do three issues, it'll be a cool event that people buy and get excited about, and they get them
Yes.
excited about these other characters. Like, if you never read the Hulk, you see Hulk in this, and you're like, I think I might pick up some Hulk. Like it was fun and made sense, you know, where I think it's harder to get publishers on board for stuff like that because immediately it becomes like, well, where are we getting our trade from? And you're like,
Yeah.
ah, I just want something cool.
All right, guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to slowly start wrapping things up. About five more questions. You guys want to give out shout outs to anyone else that helped you guys with this book? And I'm being serious because I know you guys did everything on this book, but is there anyone on the creative side you want to give a shout out? And I'm being serious. Do you guys want to give a shout out to your spouses, your partners, your kids? Because
No, man, she didn't draw anything.
I know.
It's just me and my little pencil. No, my wife is great and super supportive, and now we have a little baby girl. But no, this was I love them more than anything. This was Sean and I. This was a book that we did together. So
okay.
I think that Sean deserves all the credit for as a collaborator, and the art stuff is on me.
Yeah, Sean.
John's amazing. I mean, I'll say, like, I will throw out thank yous to, there's been a lot of creators who've lent their name and like quotes to what we've done, like Alex Packnadel and, you know, the folks from Ink Pulp. I mean, there's too many for me to run through a list right now. All of them, like, that's a really generous thing to take the time to read. Podcasters like yourself, anyone who's taking time, like, it's an independent book. And we're trying to do something different. So anyone who takes the time to like flag it is, I'm incredibly grateful for that, because I know how many things are demanding people's attention.
Yes.
This is why Sean is smarter than me. He's playing that game. I was just the asshole.
No. All right. Sean, and then Jonathan, your next convention or store appearance?
Oh, store appearance will be Anyone Comics on May 1st, and then Haven for Heroes in Port Jervis on New Comic Book Day.
Okay.
Yeah, same. We're going together. Anyone is in Brooklyn, and then Haven for Heroes, Port Jervis in New York. I don't know when the podcast is going to drop, but I'm doing a show up in Kingston, New York, at the end of April as well.
Okay.
But it may have come and gone. No,
this one's going to hit.
Yeah.
During the week, was like literally, I think it's like, was it Monday, either Monday or Tuesday of April 28th and 29th. Yeah.
All right.
We're trying to get this out before May 1st. Try. Yeah.
That's all good.
Okay. Jonathan and Sean, have you guys been to Hawaii?
I've never been.
Nope. We were going to go for spring break this year, but I have a young son.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't think that he would be able to handle the flight, but we plan on going sometime soon. I would love to.
Oh, that'd be pretty cool. That'd be nice. All right.
Bring us out for a con.
Yes, we do have conventions.
you guys have, you guys have good shows out there, I've heard.
Oh,
that'd be awesome.
Yes. Yes. Because we have two conventions. We have on Oahu, where I live, we have the Comic-Con Honolulu. That's usually in the fall, like either August or September. And then Amazing Comic-Con. Amazing Comic-Con is finally coming back after a five-year hiatus, you know, because of the pandemic and stuff like that. So I think hopefully they come back in November of this year. So, yeah. I don't know. Let me make this clear. I don't know any of the organizers, but I know they have those guest requests, and I can drop names, and that's
yeah.
I can do.
Hell yeah.
All right. Sean, I'm going to start off with you first, and Jonathan, any closing words to our listeners?
I mean, just thanks for having us. And I would say to the listeners, if you have not pre-ordered the book, I would encourage you to just go and pick it up at your store, not even have to buy it. I will leave it to you to decide if you will buy it, but I encourage you to flip through it, because I don't believe that you'll put it back down. I just don't. Yeah. So that would be my one challenge to you. Actually, it's a challenge. See if you can put it back down. So that would be the one thing I'd say.
Jonathan.
I mean, thank you for having us on. Thank you. I will echo what Sean said earlier. Like, we've had some people within the industry who've been very kind, said some nice words about it. So, I think I can speak for Sean too. I think we're both super excited to get the book out there into the world.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Sean, Jonathan, mahalo. Thank you. And Hawaiian, thank you for giving me your time today. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to interview you. I wish you guys all the success with this new series, Bear, Pirate, Viking Queen. Now, listeners, if you are a new comic book reader or a lifelong comic book reader, please check out this series. The first issue comes out on May 1st, and the second issue comes out on June 5th. You guys are going to get your money's worth out of this. I love the first issue. You know, this is an epic high seas adventure story. I love it. It's just the art is beautiful. It's just amazing. And I love how Sean knows when to add dialogue or text and when not to add that in. And it's great. It adds to the story because he's letting Jonathan's art just tell the story. And Jonathan, the color, not only the art, the colors help set the tone of the story. So please, guys, if you guys get a chance, please check out Bear Pirate Viking number one. I want to thank Drew, the Coast of Comics for Fun and Profit, for putting this episode together. Drew, thank you very much for all your hard work behind the scenes. And if you are a new listener, please check out new episodes of Comics for Fun and Profit that comes out every Saturday. And I want to thank you, the listeners. Thank you very much for your time. Thank you for listening to this episode. Until next time, guys. Aloha.
Thanks. Thanks a lot, man.
Our LCS is Cowabunga Comics out of Oconomowoc, Wisconsin, and their mail order company, Deep Discount Comics. And we went there, and we were actually invoice number 00001. We were the very first their very first customer, which was kind of cool. They've been nothing short of fantastic, customer service wise, discounts. They were very close, if not the same or better than DCBS on a lot of things, over and above customer service wise. Always taking care of us, going the extra mile. So responsive, getting instantaneous responses back to questions about things, and to the point where knowing the stuff you like and anticipating your needs and having it suggested to, that you might want to add this to your order already before you even have to think about it. That's kind of cool. Really quality experience. So we love working with Cowabunga and Deep Discount, and that's why they're in our show notes every single episode and have been for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of episodes that we leave them there because we like them. They're cool, good people. That's why they're in there. By God, they'd tell you to, if you've got a local comic book shop that you love, stay with them because everybody needs to support their local comic shops. But if you're looking, check them out. You can check them out in the show notes. There's plenty of ways to get a hold of them. Either get on their list, just so you can check and see what kind of FOC and pre-order stuff they have and the discounts, and they'll send it to you each month, get you on that email list. And you can check out their shop because they have a great shop of exclusive Cowabunga variants. Amazing stuff. Yes, they've always been there for us, and we take them for granted. So there you go. Now you know.